August 30th timeline of Bob.
Last time we talked about Gideon. This is our fifth judge. And tonight we're going to start by talking about Abimelech. But before that, we'll review just a little bit, not on the judges, but the purpose of judges. Because at the end of our lesson tonight, we're going to ask a question about Abimelech. So turn with me to Judges chapter 1. The purpose of judges. Why did God see fit to bring these judges about? In Judges chapter 1, at the beginning of that, we see the continuing conquest of Canaan as the Israelites are going through there, led by Joshua. Starting in verse 27 of chapter 1, we see the failure of Israel to complete the conquest. Now, they don't fail this conquest because God was not with them. God was always with them. But they failed because they failed to drive out all the inhabitants. They allowed the inhabitants of the land to stay and live among them. And they intermarried as well and did other things and began to worship their gods, which was the purpose of driving them out in the first place, so this wouldn't happen to them. God had warned them to drive them out. But they failed to do this. In chapter 2, back up to chapter 1. In chapter 1, again, verse 27, it goes through the tribes there, Manasseh and Ephraim and so forth, Zebulun. They did not drive out the inhabitants and so forth. In chapter 2, we see more of Israel's disobedience. And we see the death of Joshua beginning in verse 6. And then in verse 11, beginning, we see Israel's unfaithfulness. Let's read that real quick. Chapter 2. And verse 11, again, as they're going through here, they didn't drive the people out. Joshua dies. Verse 11, chapter 2. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And they served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them, those who they didn't drive out. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord, and they served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. And he sold them into the hand of their surrounded enemies so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. So this is just before all the judges happened. This is why the judges were going to be there, because of this. They allowed the people in. They bowed down before their gods and so forth. Again, we see that Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord from this reading. They abandoned the Lord. They went after other gods. They provoked God to anger. In return, God gives them over to plunderers. Keep that term in mind in our next reading here. God gave them over to plunderers who did what? They plundered them. God gave them over to them. God sells them to their enemies, and God's hand was at this time against them. Then beginning in verse 16, here we're going to see the purpose of the judges. Why did God raise up these judges? Begin in verse 16. Then the Lord, based on this, raised up judges who did what? Saved them out of the hand of those who did what? Who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. And they soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge. That's an important point. Again, whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge. And he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who had afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of the practices of their stubborn ways. And so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he said, because this people have transgressed my covenant that I commanded their fathers and have not obeyed my voice, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations that Joshua left when he died. That's key. In return, what's he going to do? I will no longer drive out these inhabitants. You allow them to stay. I'm not going to drive them out. I'm going to allow them to stay as well. In order to test, verse 22, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will take care to walk in the way of the Lord as their fathers did or not. And so the Lord left those nations, not driving them out quickly, and he did not give them into the hand of Joshua. So we see the cause of why we have the judges, and we see the purpose of the judges, okay? To kind of keep at bay these people, but God wasn't going to drive them out now. Just kind of keep them from being for a time period. From our reading here, two things to note.
This is related. Based on this, two main purposes of the judges. Number one, save them from who? Yes, save them from the plunderers. The ones that they caused. Former civil. Number two, take note that when the Lord raised up a judge, who was he with? The people or the judge?
The judge.
And how long was he with that judge?
God.
Okay. He was with the judge until the judge died. Okay?
Several components to that. God had to do what? Raise the judge up. Right? If he did that, he was with that judge, and he was with him until he died. With that, let's turn to Judges chapter 8. Because again, we've been through five judges. I'm about to start our sixth judge, but again, it's a little bit more background. Because Abimelech, our next judge, we count it with the judges here, has a relationship with Gideon, his father. We begin at verse 22. Gideon's already served his judgeship, or his story part anyway. And after that we see, then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, you and your son and your grandson also, for you have saved us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, and my son will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you. And Gideon said to them, let me make a request of you, every one of you, give me your earrings from the spoil. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a cloak, and every man threw in his earrings of his spoil. And the weight of the golden earrings he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides the crescent ornaments and the pendants and the purple garments worn by the king of Midian. And besides the collars were bound around the necks of the camels. And Gideon made an ephod of it and put it in his city, Ophrah. And all Israel whored after it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and to his family. And so Midian was subdued before the people of Israel. They raised their heads no more, and the land had rest for 40 years in the days of Gideon. So Gideon was raised up. They had rest. God was with him all the days of his life. Okay? They asked Gideon, rule over us. And Gideon refused. Okay? Keep in mind, judges sometimes were the rulers. Sometimes they were more spiritual leaders, prophets, if you will. Oftentimes they were men of war. Verse 29. Jerubbaal, as we stated last week, that is Gideon, the son of Joash, went and lived in his own house. Now Gideon had 70 sons, his own offspring, for he had many wives. So he got 70 kids here, and he's got one other one. That's where we're coming to our new story. Verse 31. And his concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, and he called his name Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the tomb of Joash, his father, at Ophrah of the Barizzites. As soon as Gideon died, again, we had this rest for 40 years. We're told here, as soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. And they did not show steadfast love to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, in return for all the good that he had done to Israel. So after he dies, they don't show his family, his 70 children and so forth, or 71 children, any good faith behind that. So let's get some background before we go into the story of Abimelech. It's all in chapter 9. Abimelech, we're about to read about, is Gideon's son. This Gideon who we just read about. Gideon had, as we read, 70 other sons by his many wives. But Abimelech was different, and he was had by a concubine from Shechem, as we read. After his father's death, Abimelech conspires. We're going to read this in the story. After his father's death, Abimelech is going to conspire with his mother's family to kill his 70 half-brothers. So again, his mother's from Shechem. He's going to go back. He's got 70 half-brothers. He's going to conspire with his mother's people to kill his brothers. We'll read about that. Only one of his brothers out of the 70 escapes, and it's the youngest one, and his name is Jotham. After this event, we're told that he's going to rule for 3 years. And then after that, a rebellion goes out against him, Abimelech, from his own people of Shechem, the ones he had conspired with in the first place. But he suppresses this rebellion, and that's within the story. Later on, he is struck in the head by a millstone from a woman. It crushes his skull, but he survives. And he orders his armor bearer to kill him so that it won't be said that a woman had killed him. So we'll read about that in just a moment. Jotham, we read about that. That's the youngest of the 70 brothers who survived this attack. He's a half-brother of Abimelech. Again, youngest son of the 70 from Gideon's wives. Only survivor of the slaughter of his brothers. He learns that Abimelech conspired with these men of Shechem. He learns about this. And he's going to go to Shechem and deliver an analogy to them of Abimelech's rise to power. A little story comparing trees and so forth. We'll read about that in a moment. He curses at that time Abimelech and those men of Shechem for killing his brothers before he flees because he's afraid that Abimelech's going to follow and kill him. His curse at the end of the story comes true as the men of Shechem are killed in a revolt, and Abimelech is also struck down by the millstone. Gaal, we're going to read about him, son of Ebed.
He's not in the story for very long.
But he's son of Ebed. He's the persuader of the men of Shechem. He's the one after Abimelech goes to the men of Shechem, they conspire and they kill the 70. He reigns for 3 years. Gaal goes back to these men of Shechem to revolt against this Abimelech who they just helped. And we'll find out this revolt is crushed.
Zebul. Okay, this is guy who revs him up. Zebul is actually the leader of the city of Shechem, the ruler of Shechem.
He's not the one conspiring.
Gaal is.
Ruler Shechem, he served as an officer of Abimelech. He's actually his officer. When Gaal incites the men of Shechem, he questions why these men follow Zebul. Again, Gaal questions the men of Shechem. Why do you follow this guy, this leader? We'll read about that. Because of this, he questions his authority. Zebul helps Abimelech by sending word to him that they're about to conspire against him. In the process,
he kind of eggs Gaal on.
During this beginning of this fight, he talks Gaal into attacking Abimelech outside the city. Go out in the city and fight him. And at some point, he puts Gaal outside and doesn't allow him and his men to retreat and stay in the walls.
So he kind of turns on Gaal for that.
His final fate is unclear. I don't see anywhere that it says what
Zebul's final fate is.
With that, let's turn to Judges chapter 9. Now Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, again that's Gideon, went to Shechem to his mother's relatives. This is after, of course, his father had died. And he said to them and to the whole clan of his mother's family, "Say in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, which is it better for you? That all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal rule over you, or that one rule over you? Remember also that I am bone and of your flesh." So, what's better? 70 kids of Abimelech rule over, or Gideon rule over you? Or me? I'm your flesh and blood. Verse 3, his mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem. And their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows who followed him. And he went to his father's house at Ophrah. And he killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men, on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the leaders of Shechem came together, and all Beth-Nilo, and they went out and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar of Shechem. So here they conspired. They've killed all these brothers, his half-brothers, and he's taken over. Has God appointed him judge? God raises up judges. Again, that's where you're going to stay. We'll talk about that more in a minute, though. Verse 7. When it was told to Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim, and he cried aloud and said to them, listen to me, you leaders of Shechem, that God may listen to you. And he's going to tell this analogy here about what just happened. The trees once went out to anoint a king over them. And they said, being the trees, said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, shall I leave my abundance by which gods and men are honored and go hold sway over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, so in other words, that first tree said no. They said to the fig tree, you come and reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go hold sway over the trees? And the tree said to the vine, so again, the fig tree had said no. And the tree said to the vine, you come and reign over us. But the vine said to them, shall I leave my wine that cheers God and men and go hold sway over the trees? And so the vine says no. Verse 14. Then all the trees said to the bramble, you come and reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, if in good faith you are anointing me king over you, then come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. We'll stop there. So he's telling this story here based on what just happened. Now, who was the first person that the people had asked? Gideon, and Gideon said no. We're never told the second place here. Some studies say that the second tree may have been his sons. Some say the third may have been priests. But the point is, they asked for a king and they were told no. But when they came to this least, this bramble, being Abimelech here, the least, who had no shade. Bramble doesn't have shade. These other trees did. That's who they wanted. Verse 16. Now therefore, he's still telling, if you acted in good faith and integrity when you made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house and have done to him as his deeds deserved, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of Midian. And you have risen up against my father's house this day and have killed his son, 70 men on one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the leaders of Shechem, because he is your relative. If you then have acted in good faith and integrity with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the leaders of Shechem and Beth Milo. And let fire come out from the leaders of Shechem and from Beth Milo and devour Abimelech in return. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and lived there because of Abimelech his brother. So he tells this and he ends this with a curse. If it be so this, then rejoice. If not, then let you all destroy each other, basically. Then let destroy you and vice versa. Verse 22. Abimelech ruled over Israel for 3 years. And God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the leaders of Shechem. Any word of him raising up a judge yet that you're reading about? We do know God's always in power. We'll talk about that later. But he dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Verse 24. That the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them. and on the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to kill his brothers. And the leaders of Shechem put men in ambush against him on the mountaintops, and they robbed all who passed by them along that way. And it was told to Abimelech. And so this Gaal comes into play. Gaal, the son of Ebed, moved into Shechem with his relatives, and the leaders of Shechem put confidence in him. And they went out into the field. Again, he's not the leader. He just moved into the area. Verse 27, and they went out into the field and gathered the grapes from the vineyards and trod them and held a festival. And they went into the house of their god and ate and drank and reviled Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech? And who are we of Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal or Gideon? And is not Zebul, the second one here, his officer?" We'll find out what the Shebel or Zebul in just a minute. "Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But why would we serve him? And the people of your relatives, your descendants, serve them, but don't serve these people." Verse 29. "Would that this people were under my hand, then I would remove Abimelech. And I would say to Abimelech, increase your army and come out." So this threat here, if you put me in power, this is what I would do. And then we see this Zebul, who he just put down. When Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. And he sent messengers to Abimelech secretly, saying, "Behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his relatives have come to Shechem, and they're stirring up the city against you. Now therefore, go by night, you and the people who are with you, and set an ambush in the field. Then, in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, rise early and rush upon the city. And when he and the people who are with him come out against you, you may do to them as your hand finds to do." So Abimelech and all the men who were with him rose up by night and set an ambush against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance of the gate of the city. And Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from the ambush. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, "Look, people are coming down from the mountaintops." And Zebul said to him, "You mistake the shadow of the mountains for men." And Gaal spoke again and said, "Look, people are coming down from the center of the land, and one company is coming from the direction of the diviner's oak." And then Zebul says to him, "Where's your mouth now, you who said, 'Who is Abimelech that we should serve him?' Are not these people the one whom you despise? Go out now and fight with them." And Gaal went out at the head of the leaders of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And many fell wounded up to the entrance of the gate. And Abimelech lived at Arimah. And Zebul drove out Gaal and his relatives so they could not dwell at Shechem. So he wouldn't let them in. He was conspiring, if you will, with Abimelech. Any word here of Zebul being killed yet? No. On the following day, the people went out into the field, and Abimelech was told. And he took his people and divided them into three companies. He set the ambush in the fields, and he looked and saw the people coming out of the city. And so he rose against them and killed them. Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city, while the two companies rushed upon all who were in the field and killed them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he captured the city, killed the people who were in it, and he razed the city and sowed it with salt. So part of this curse is coming true. When all the leaders of the tower of Shechem heard of it, they entered the stronghold of the house of Elbereth. Abimelech was told that all the leaders of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech went to the mountain of Zalmon and all the people who were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand, and he cut down a bundle of brushwood and took it up and laid it on his shoulder. And he said to the men who were with him, "What have you seen me do? Hurry and do as I have done." And so every one of the people cut down his bundle and, following Abimelech, put it against the stronghold. They set the stronghold on fire over them. So all the people of the tower of Shechem also died, about 1,000 men and women. So half the curse is finished. Then Abimelech went to Thebes and encamped against Thebes and captured it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and all the men and women, all the leaders of the city, fled to it and shut themselves in. And they went up to the roof of the tower. Abimelech came to the tower, fought against it, drew near to the door to the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest they say of me, 'A woman killed him.' And his young man thrust him through, and he died. When the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, everyone departed to his home. So this curse was finished. Thus God returned the evil of Abimelech, which he committed against his father in killing his 70 brothers. And God also made all the evil of the men of Shechem return on their heads, and upon the curse and curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. So a question that I asked last week. Should Abimelech be considered a judge? I'm not answering either way, by the way. Should he be considered a judge? We read some of the qualifications of what a judge was. The judge was there to save them from the plunderers or their oppressors. My first question was Abimelech an oppressor of his own people?
So, did the judges die a natural death, or were they any of them killed?
Well, Samson. We'll get to him. But so far.
Well, did he kill himself?
But it wasn't unnatural, is one thing, by the question. And we'll get to that eventually. Some things to consider. Nowhere in here is he called a judge that I noticed. Did y'all see anywhere that he was called a judge? Not that that's a qualification. I don't think Gideon was called a judge either. You have to look back at that. He was called early, but was he specifically called a judge?
Did he say he judged Israel?
Let's turn back there. Oh, it says that I can see there an end in verse 28. So Midian was subdued before the people of Israel. They raised their heads no more, and the land had rest 40 years in the days of Gideon. May I miss where it said he judged, but my point is, I'm not saying it has, that's a qualification. You have to be called a judge to be listed as a judge. It's more for your study, okay?
Well, verse 9:22 says that he reigned over Israel.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing, he did reign, okay? But he also reigned, but he also was asked to be the ruler, but what did he do? He refused to be ruler. It's okay, take that in mind. You know what it says, he ruled or he reigned. You say verse 22. Oh, I'm sorry, you're talking about Abimelech, I'm sorry. Let's just back on Gideon. Gideon had refused. Abimelech did rule. Did Gideon rule? That's my question, I guess. Because he refused to rule. So is being a ruler a qualification to be a judge?
He was a self-appointed
judge. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're not told of any time of peace. Usually with these judges, they ruled so long and then there were so many, much time of peace. Now our third one, remember, he didn't have a time of peace. It was a different tale. Now, I'm not saying it's a qualifier either. These are just thought questions, okay? But here his life ends, and in chapter 10, it goes straight into the next judge. After Abimelech, there arose to save Israel, but there's no word of any years of peace with him. And I'm not saying that's a qualification, it's something to think about. Did he save his people, or was he an oppressor of his people? Again, we know God's in control. We know that he raises up judges. But again, was Abimelech raised up or was mentioned, or did he raise himself up? And God simply used him to serve a certain purpose. Again, I'm not looking for an answer, just thoughts. Is the Abimelech story a story within the book of Judges? Not counting him as a judge himself, but just that. Okay. Either way, very important story because God's told us there. In other words, it's a way of going from Gideon to the next judge. Comments. Again, I'm not throwing that out there either way. That's more for your own study. He was self-appointed. But God would have to allow that, would he not? But was he more of a judge or an oppressor? If you have any more for next time on that, we'll start to tell, otherwise we'll discuss that more.